Hey, this is Jersey. You're listening to the Garden State.
You're listening to the Garden State, the only New Jersey podcast that gives you all the news you need to hear this week. My name is Josh Sobo.
My name is Josh Chomik.
And I'm Jimmy Parks.
And we are back for the week, I should say the Friday, May 2nd.
May 2nd.
May 3rd.
May 3rd.
May 3rd. Man, I looked at the calendar and I still messed it up.
And you know what day is after May 3rd?
Cinco de... No.
May 4th. May the 4th,
may the 4th be with you, leading into Cinco de Mustache.
Hey, what's with all the puns for the start of May? Yesterday was, it's going to be May.
I never... What's that one?
Hold on. Oh, no. You have never seen that one?
It's going to be May?
It's going to be May.
Timberlake?
Oh, it's going to be May. Yeah, I saw the Justin Timberlake thing. Yeah, I was singing it last night. I didn't know that was a thing, though. I've never heard of it.
I feel like it's been slowly like dropping off the past few years. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, the kids these days don't know Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound like a rotten individual. I just don't get it. I don't get the hype when like May the 4th comes around.
People, May the 4th is cool if you're a Star Wars fan.
So it's Star Wars Day.
Yeah. Star Wars Day.
Okay.
And then Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, man. I mean,
that's a national holiday.
But I don't know. I'm a big Star Wars fan, but the days, I just have never gotten the excitement about the made up holidays.
Yeah. Like, you're not dressing up on May 4th, like walking around with a lightsaber like some people do.
Well, hold on. Maybe I'll dress up.
You've never done it before.
Yeah, probably not. I probably would never dress up, but we are in May, which is crazy to even say out loud. Like I said last week, you guys were just at the Hackettstown New Year's ball drop.
Yeah.
Here we are in May. And before we know it, Memorial Day will be upon us. And, you know,
it's basically tomorrow at this point, honestly, because.
Wow. Yeah. It's at the end of this month. That's right? Crazy.
Like, it's crazy.
That's this month.
Pools are going to open. Yeah. Beaches opening up.
Days are getting longer.
New Jersey summer's upon us.
We just got to get through allergy season first. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like this week I've been miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Did you try just not being
ingested? I tried my hardest and I think I'm doing well.
Do you take anything for your allergies?
Just like dumb stuff.
Like what?
Allertec.
Zyrtec, I think.
Yeah.
Does that stuff even work? Because I feel like everyone who takes it still deals with allergies.
Zyrtec works for me.
I've never taken it in my life. Does it hit immediately or how does it work?
Pretty quickly. I mean, I don't time it. Maybe it's placebo a little bit at first. I don't know, but it definitely fixes me. I get brain fog. That's my allergies thing. I get like, I just feel like,
you just feel stuffed in the brain type thing.
Just like, yeah, like just disconnected from everything around me and not able to like focus on my work and just out of it.
But like when you take the Zyrtec,
I just feel myself again.
Like you're outside and you could breathe fully and like you feel strong.
Yeah. And I don't get super congested. I mean, sometimes I do, but generally for me, it's more a matter of brain fog and just, it happens every year. Like mid-April, I have like 3 days in a row where I'm like, why am I useless at work right now? Why do I feel this way? And then I go, oh, it's allergy season. I haven't been taking my Zyrtec.
And the coffee doesn't like cancel that or the
no,
coffee doesn't
that's
wake
actually
you up?
The mistake I made a few weeks ago is I just kept drinking coffee all day.
And it's just what you're like, this coffee is not working.
It's not even like just tired. It's just like a fog.
Interesting. But I feel like, has there been a lot of pollen out there?
Oh,
I feel like my car's
ton.
Been clean.
Are you kidding me? Mine yesterday was covered in green.
Yeah, I've been seeing lots of pollen.
Really?
Yeah.
My car has been like really clean for some reason.
Hmm. Maybe there's still elves that are cleaning your car at night.
Maybe. Interesting. I didn't know that. I never really dealt with allergies like my whole life. Like, I guess I'm built different than you guys, but like it just hasn't been a thing that affected me.
It wasn't really a thing that affected me until the past few years, honestly.
Comes with age?
They say your allergies change every 7 years. I don't know if that's true or not, or just like an old wives trail, but.
Have you ever heard that, Subs?
I have heard that. I never had allergies until about 3 years ago.
Same.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So maybe my time is coming. Who knows?
It was my like mid to late 20s. Something popped and I just got allergies.
Do a lot of kids deal with allergies?
Probably.
Like, I feel like we weren't talking about this when we were like 20, right? Like, oh, I'm dealing with my allergies this week.
I think a lot of people do. I think it's just not relevant until it's you. You hear about it, you're like, oh, allergies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, we're all allergic to something, you know, kind of thing.
Interesting.
So, yeah, spring's upon us. Memorial Day's coming up quickly. I can't wait for the summer. You guys know I say it every year. This is my favorite time of the year in the Garden State. I love Memorial Day weekend. It's my, I think it's literally my favorite holiday weekend.
More than Thanksgiving or Christmas?
Yes.
Ooh, got
like, I love, okay, Thanksgiving and Christmas, I love them both a lot. I love Thanksgiving because of what it represents for Christmas, the start of this awesome time of year. But I love Memorial Day because of what it represents for the summer. You know, I love that the summer, this is like the soft launch of summer.
Got it. Yeah, it's a good feeling.
You know, things, I like that there's marks on the calendar that are clear pivots in season.
Mm-hmm.
Even though summer doesn't begin on Memorial Day weekend, it's when we unofficially kind of, you know, we announce summer.
What would you say are the main pivots? We got Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving for the Christmas.
Those are the only two you really need.
Is there any other one that you like or
polar plunge?
That's not a pivot though.
Yes, it is. It's like,
not for me. Would you say like labor? Labor Day.
Well, Labor Day. So Labor Day is a seasonal kind of pivot.
Cause I kind of get excited for fall. Cause I'm like sick of the heat by that point. I'm just like, oh, fall weather is right around the corner.
I think Labor Day so here's the way I map out the year, and we're going on a little tangent here, but let's just ride it out. Labor Day to Christmas is probably the best time of year. I mean, summer's great. I love summer.
Mm-hmm. But fall.
Labor Day to Christmas, you get Labor Day, and you're kind of like, oh, summer's over. You're bummed, but then you remember Halloween's coming, so everybody's getting all festive. You know, all the fall decorations are going up. And then you have Thanksgiving, and then it's Christmas.
Yeah.
And then you're in the valley. January to, like, March 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then March 1st, things are alive again, and we're kind of in, like summer purgatory right now. Like, we're not fully there.
But don't you like this month just because, like, the 70 degree weather, it's not too hot, but it's not too cold either.
No, for sure. I think
it's perfect.
I love the weather, but for some reason it's hard to embrace it the way you can in summer. Like, I'm non-committal to plans surrounding weather because you just don't know. Yeah. You don't know if it's going to be nice. You don't know.
One day it's 50, another day it's 80. It's a mess.
Yeah, like, if a nice warm day happens this in May or in April, you're like, ah, it's great. Let's enjoy it. Let's go out. But you're not planning the month of April assuming every day is going to be 70 degrees. You're assuming it's going to be 55 degrees and rainy.
Yeah, especially in our area.
So, but then Memorial Day hits and we're back. We're back, baby.
We're back. And?
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it's really your favorite weekend because it's my birthday weekend.
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you have a birthday?
Shouting out his birthday.
Believe it or not.
When's your birthday?
May the 30th.
May the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be 29?
Yeah.
Do you feel 29?
I still feel like I'm 16, honestly.
It's great.
Like, I feel like my life hasn't changed. Well, I guess it
Wait, are we having a birthday party or no? Did you not plan anything this
Dominie, year? Dominie's hosting a birthday party for Jimmy.
Sick.
Are you going to go see a show or something?
I don't know what I'm doing for my birthday. Honestly,
what day of the week is it?
It's a Thursday this year, I think.
Ooh, podcast day.
But because it's like over a holiday weekend, it kind of screws things up sometimes because a lot of people are away and have other plans. But
let's be real though. Like, when have you ever had a birthday party?
Exactly. That's what I feel like the past few years I've been like planning it too late. Didn't we go to Island Beach last year, like a bunch of us?
I don't remember. I don't keep that on the docket.
I think we did.
I didn't come.
Last year?
Yeah, for sunrise, I think.
I don't know. No, I wasn't there.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't get the invite. It's all good, though.
I'm pretty sure you
were there. I think you were there, dude. I remember you guys all going for Jimmy's birthday.
I remember being away. I wasn't able to go to that sunrise sesh.
No, I literally have pictures of Josh Jumbo there, but it's fine.
Wait a second. Hold on. We got to get to the bottom of this now. Well, that's exciting, Jimmy.
Jimmy has like a photographic memory for like the past 20 years. It's something I don't get how he does it.
Jimmy's so funny. He'll be like, in 2007, I was at McDonald's in Clark.
Yep, that's it. That's so Jimmy.
And I saw Samantha Wilder from the fifth grade art class. He's like, Jimmy, first off, the record keeping is amazing. And the memory is also, I made up a name, by the way. I don't know if that's an actual Clark.
I was wondering if it was someone that you knew.
No, just saying like you named some girl's name that were like, oh, who is that?
Yeah.
Like Nicole
Resitar.
Nicole Resitar.
It's amazing. Jimmy's very special, and that's why we appreciate him here on the podcast.
Jimmy.
Special soul.
Yeah. He's the human calculator.
I think I'm gonna think for names. Like
Do you like names?
If you have a cool name, I want to be your friend. type of deal.
That's pretty much how you roll. Like, you don't even care about personality. If it's a cool name,
yeah,
we're friends.
Yeah.
That's why we're friends.
Yeah.
I think, maybe.
Hey, guys. So, why don't we take a look into the big old-fashioned mailbag? Because it seems...
Put our hand into that bag of mail.
Yeah, you know, I really... When I was a kid, I used to watch a TV show where they would open letters.
Yeah.
And they would put a fan on the side of the camera and they would drop letters in front of it and it would blow the letters across. We should do that in here.
So neat.
What if we just do like a...
We could do that.
What kind of letters blowing in?
We just have to get
in
some letters.
All right. So if you want to call into our mailbag... Well, Josh, what is the mailbag?
The mailbag is it's a number of people can call to talk about New Jersey.
What kind of topics?
They could talk about news stories, opinions. They can open up and just vent to us about their life and really tell us whatever they want. And we will then respond with, you know, a response. Because that's what we do.
We will respond with
a
response.
That's what we've been doing the past year. And the mailbag is great because we hear from so many different people who listen to the podcast. And we appreciate everyone who calls and supports. And by the way, we have so many mailbags just every single week. So we wish we could play all of them.
Hmm.
So I'm sorry if we don't get to your mailbag, but it's been pretty powerful. It's been packed.
It is hard to get to all the mailbags. But it's awesome that we have people listening that want to talk to us. So thank you, everybody, for calling in. If you want to call into the mailbag, here's the number. Josh will play it for you.
908-67-99993. Hey, guys. It's Meddy again down here in Gloucester County. Here for college, finishing it up. It's final season. First of all, I wanted to say it was absolutely amazing getting to meet you guys at the meetup. It was great. You guys were so welcoming. It was awesome. I had a great time. I got the flag that you guys gave out put up in the room. It's definitely coming with me next year when I finish up and graduate. But I wanted to mention a story that I actually spoke to Chomik about in regards to the pizza murders in Sussex County. Fun fact, when I'm back in Sussex County over the summer, the Dunkin' Donuts I work at is actually the place where the murderers, used, we had a payphone outside, used the payphone to make the phone call. And again, I do have some other friends who also know the people who, you know, may or may not have got, you know, sold the people the gun. It's pretty cool. I would love for you guys to speak on it. And hopefully next time, if I get to see you guys again, which I do hope for, I'll bring you guys a shirt that says, you know, the Franklin Duncan. So you guys will have a memory of, or a memory, I'm sorry, I stuttered a little bit, on where that phone call came from. So, yeah, hope you guys have a great one. Again, it was awesome to see you, and, you know, I wish you guys all well. See you around.
Now, this is a cool story that I've been wanting to cover after Meddy told me about it.
So, what's going on here? So there was murders that took place up in Sussex County in 1997, correct?
Yeah, the pizza murders.
Before we get into it, a little context. So, Meddy was saying he works at a Dunkin'. He worked at a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
And there was a payphone out front.
Yes.
That the murderers in the story used. So, in some way, Meddy's connected to the crime.
Meddy might have something to do with this.
Okay, good to know. All right, so let's read a little bit about this. There's all these weird true crime things that happen in the Garden State. And some of them are just absolutely bizarre. So this one says in 1997, two local men were shot to death while delivering a couple of cheese pizzas to an abandoned home on Scott Road in Franklin in a planned murder that became known as the Thrill Killings. So one quick note with this.
Yep.
We talked about this a little while back. There's like six Franklins.
Yeah.
In New Jersey.
So many.
So it's hard to know. When I think Franklin, I think the one over by near Somerset.
Yep, that's the one I think, because I had a friend who lived at that one.
Yeah.
So that's one I know.
But this Franklin is up in Sussex County. And if you look up, I Googled, you can just search Sussex County murders pizza. There's a 1997 article that comes up. Updated in 2017, and has a photo of the house, and it is unbelievably creepy.
Yeah.
It is a little creepy shack that the pizza was ordered to. So let's read a little bit further.
Looking at that picture right now.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So it says the murder shocked Sussex County and drew the attention of the nation and the world. Media from as far away as Asia reported on the case, describing the county as quiet and sleepy. According to court documents, at 10:45 p.m. Saturday, April 9th, 1997, Jeremy Giordano, 22, of Hardyston, and Giorgio Galera, 25, of Augusta, left Tony's Pizza and Pasta in Hardyston to deliver two pizzas to 196 Scott Road. When they pulled up to the home, Koskovich and Vreeland were waiting outside. So as the automobile approached the curb, the restaurant's owner lowered the window on the passenger side and asked for $16.50, the sum owed for the pizzas. Koskovich turned to his right, looked at Vreeland, and asked him for the money, to which Vreeland answered, yeah. A 2001 Supreme Court decision outlined, adding Koskovich then told Vreeland that he had the money and reached in his right jacket pocket. He then pulled out a .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol, aimed at Giordano's automobile, and discharged the gun until it was empty, firing seven shots in rapid succession. So he murders these two guys. The car rolled and came to a stop in a muddy area, giving Koskovich and Vreeland the opportunity to pull their victims out of the vehicle and for Koskovich to see Giordano and Galera's pockets and vehicle for money, court documents said. It was later determined that Koskovich fired the fatal .45 caliber bullet that claimed Giordano's life, and Vreeland killed Galera with a single .22 bullet to the back of the head. So as the killers ran back to the vehicle, Koskovich said, I can't believe we did this. I can't believe we did this. They hugged and got back into the car, according to the 2001 decision. Pretty weird story all around here.
Yeah.
On the way to Koskovich's house, he and Vreeland stopped in front of a church in Franklin, where they got out of the car and made the sign of the cross. Once home, Koskovich put the gun and the bloody clothes in a bag and placed it under a pane of glass outside of his house. The decision said, according to the court documents, Koskovich and Vreeland had discussed robbing and possibly killing a person prior to their committing those crimes. The duo then located an abandoned house on Scott Road, where they decided they would have pizzas delivered to lure their victims, followed by a visit to a local Dunkin' Donuts to use a payphone, which is where our friend Medi comes in, mm-hmm. and to call for delivery of two pizzas. So, goes on to say, after their arrest, Koskovich admitted to police that he took part in the crime and that Vreeland told officers that he shot the dashboard of the vehicle to prove he was a friend of Koskovich and that he didn't want to kill anybody. So these two are just nuts.
It's crazy because it's like their plan was, all right, cool. We killed these two guys. This is what we're going to do. We're going to be the pizza murderers. This is the house that we're going to reel the delivery drivers into, and then mm-hmm. we're just going to shoot them.
So messed up.
And that's why, I don't know, I think it says it somewhere in the article, Josh, but it was like, they actually ended up calling like more pizzerias, but like people like caught on.
No way.
Because they knew their friends were killed. So like no one was delivering pizzas to this address.
Yeah, it says the pair initially called Tony's Pizza, but hung up upon learning that Giordano, an acquaintance of Vreeland's, was the delivery person. They called several other restaurants, all of which refused to deliver pizza to the location the decision said.
Yeah, so they were found pretty quickly.
I mean, I don't know if they were denying them because they knew they were killing, or if they were denying because it's just such a ridiculously weird address. Yeah, like that's what I want to know.
I think that's more likely.
Well, it said that one of the person they called was like an acquaintance of the original driver, so maybe they found out the person was killed and they were just like, no shot.
196 Scott Road, Franklin, New Jersey.
What does it look like today?
I'm trying to see if you could even, I don't think there's even a Google Earth view of it.
Wait, wow. What happens if you click the guy?
He won't go out there. Oh wait, actually, let me see. Nope, he won't go out there.
That's crazy.
Looks like it's just wooded now, which is crazy. Are you ever out in this area?
No, not really.
I'm trying to see, this is off 23, Franklin. I don't know if I'm ever in this area.
It's like a pretty weird spot of the state, honestly. Whenever I go up there, I'm taking like Route 15. I guess sometimes I would take 15 to 94 into Hamburg. But
so it's right between 94 and 23, just south of Crystal Springs Resort. So this is way up in the sticks. So what was these guys' motive? They were just two idiot kids. I mean, I hate to say that sounds dismissive. They were bad, evil people, but they were trying to lure pizza guys in so they could murder them.
Yeah.
And then they went to a payphone to call for the order. That's what they were doing.
I don't understand where the payphone came from. Maybe that's where they placed it.
I think that's where they placed the order.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. This is before cell phones. It's obviously an abandoned house. They don't have a phone line.
Yeah, that makes sense. They have to use a payphone.
Huh. Wow. That's pretty insane.
And one of the kids was actually, like, the murderer was, he was sentenced to death. But it was overturned in 2001. Huh. And then they just sentenced him to life in prison. So.
Really?
Yeah. So that they wanted to give him the death chair.
So let me see if I could find what are the first names of these kids? Because it only goes by last name. Oh, here we go. Thomas Koskovich and Jason Vreeland.
Tom and Jason.
So these, what's wrong with, like, I don't know. I don't get
after they killed the first two, they said they were hugging. They were stoked. They're like, I love you, man.
Yeah, that's that was
so
the weird part.
Yeah, that's so weird. Is this like a thing they were into?
Obviously.
He's still 20 years later, NJ Church to remember victims of thrill kill pizza murders. So yeah, these guys are still serving time. And the kids that were murdered were very young. It's super sad.
Terrible. Can you imagine being like, we had a bunch of friends who were pizza delivery drivers like growing up.
Yeah. Imagine that happened in your town.
And you just like
shake everything up.
Seriously though, like when you're a delivery driver like that for like anything, you don't know whose house you're going to.
Well, and the other thing is, this is one of those urban legend feeling things, almost like, oh, don't eat Halloween candy because there's razor blades in it. Or, you know, it's one thing that happens and it stokes fear in the whole nation.
Yeah.
Because everybody orders pizza at some point. Everybody gets Halloween candy at some point.
Yep.
You know, it's one single situation that can weirdly impact the culture of everything. I'm amazed, even reading this, that there isn't more concern for delivery driver safety.
Yeah, right.
Like you'd think this would be way more common. I hate to say that, but you would think
thank
this would
God
be,
it's not.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be something that you hear a lot about.
Also, but, what I noticed with the story, maybe you guys can help me out here, but why back then, why was there two people going to a delivery? Was that more common back then when there weren't cell phones, just so one person has the other person's back?
Or no.
Like, why do you think there's two kids going to this?
My guess would be everybody didn't want to deliver. I'm guessing it was way out in the sticks and maybe it made them feel uncomfortable. Maybe it was like, hey, you want to take this delivery together?
Got
that's
it.
What, that'd that's be my what assumption, I think, because I mean, if you watch Home Alone, little Nero's comes.
Yeah, he's driving alone.
So, you know, that's same year, 97.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, like even today,
great reference.
Even today, like sometimes you like Ubers, delivery drivers, like they have a friend with them.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything from a comfort thing to a, hey, what are you doing this afternoon? You want to like hang out and do some deliveries with me?
Right? I got so mad because one time we got an Uber, just an Uber X.
Yeah.
And it was like three of us.
Yeah.
No, it was like four of us. So we're like, oh, we'll do three people in the back, one person in the front.
And then there was someone in the front
and
seat.
And the Uber driver had a friend with them.
Yeah.
So then we couldn't take the Uber because the person had a friend with them. We're like, we didn't plan for this.
Did he cancel or did you?
I forgot what the situation was, but we had to like leave because the driver's like, yeah, I can't fit four people in the back. We're like, all right, well, this is not going to work.
Big thing with Uber drivers I've learned is they always try to get you to cancel because if they cancel it reflects poorly on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you gotta be like, you gotta put your foot down. This is a weird story. That it's even more weird if you ever drive up to that area of New Jersey. It's very eerie to consider. Sussex County is country. There's a lot of little towns there that are kind of nowadays feeling very empty.
Yeah.
So I always wonder what causes people to plant their roots down way out in the sticks. No offense if you live up in Sussex County.
Well, if you have family like growing up there, like you're gonna stay there with family.
Yeah, but like but how do you end up in that area?
Which is a different way of life. Some people seek that out.
No, I like that idea of that way of life. I just wonder, like, where do you work and stuff?
Yeah, some people could work in the city still. I mean, it's a doable commute.
That's true.
I mean, the real question is, like, when you live out in, like, nowhere Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, nowhere Pennsylvania is a great way to describe the whole state, Jimmy.
Yes.
So, all right, let's move on to some news. Thank you, Mehdi, for that phone call. That's a great tidbit.
That was really, yeah. Mehdi told me all about this in person. He's like, you guys don't know about the Sussex County pizza murders? I was like, no, dude. And he's like, you got to cover this. So Mehdi, I'm glad we were able to cover that. Thank you for enlightening us with this cool story. And it's amazing how, you know, the payphone is at the Dunkin' Donuts that you worked at. So yeah, man, if you want to bring the Dunkin' shirt over, I'd love to rock that. And we'd really appreciate that.
Well, before we move on, here's what I want to figure out with the Dunkin' thing.
The relation from the Dunkin' to the house.
Aha.
It's on Route 23.
There you go.
Wow.
See if the payphone's still up front. Nope, doesn't look like it.
Mehdi's still in the photo or no?
Mehdi's working the drive through in that photo.
Nice.
All right. Let's dive into some news here.
Let's do it.
Hey, before we get into the news this week, we want to remind you once more that we are at the Vintage City offices in Elizabeth, New Jersey. The Vintage City offices has been our home for the last year, and we absolutely love it. It's become the place where we go to get some work done, man. We escape the madness.
Putting in that work, baby.
And, you know, if you've been with us for a while, you know we started in our living rooms, and we reached a point where we outgrew our homes and said we need a space dedicated to the podcast and ended up right here in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and we love it. And Josh loves to describe the Vintage City offices with a word every single week.
It's righteous.
It's righteous. It's a righteous place to be. And I'll say it's afforded us the ability to kind of grow beyond where we were at. It's season two.
Beyond our walls.
Yes. Of the Garden State. So if you're a small business owner and you're looking for a place to get work done, you can reach out to the Vintage City offices. You can reach out to the team at Vintage City offices at 908-259-4488. That's 908-259-4488.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call or text. You can say, hey, I want to stop by. I want to tour the space. I want to see what it's like. And while you're here, checking out the beautiful environment, make sure you look for that big green and yellow neon sign. Take a selfie. Tag us on Instagram. We thank you for all the support. And make sure to check out Vintage City offices.
Blessings.
This summer could be one of the hottest in recent history for the state of New Jersey.
Let's bring it on, baby. It's been getting hotter and hotter. I'm ready
heat
for
waves.
It.
It's going to be 87 degrees today.
87 today?
Today. It could hit 90. You know, there are always a few degrees off.
I got to put my AC unit in my room.
Yeah.
Wow. An increasingly likely La Nina event could mean that the United States could experience one of the hottest summers on record this year. And temperatures in New Jersey will be no exception. According to a recently released forecast from the Weather Channel, Garden State residents can expect an abnormally hot summer in 2024. In fact, long-range models and climate trends indicate it could be one of the hottest summers on record. La Nina could play a big role in spiking temperatures. Dr. Todd Crawford, he's the vice president of meteorology and atmospheric G2, wrote for the Weather Channel.
Legend.
That's an impressive title.
What's an atmospheric G2?
I don't know. I feel like Chomik would know.
No, I have no idea.
La Nina events typically occur every 2 to 7 years on average and last 9 to 12 months. During a La Nina event, strong trade winds push warm water towards the U.S. West Coast, bringing cold water to the ocean surface and pushing the jet stream northward, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Josh, what do you know about a La Nina?
I just know it's going to be hot. That's what all I know.
So it's saying by May, New Jersey residents will already be feeling above average temperatures.
Today.
And then in June and July, temperatures will remain above average as the heat shifts southward and blankets much of the northern plains, the Ohio Valley, and the northeast states. So we're getting some heat.
I mean, like breaking news, it's going to be hot this summer. Whoop-dee-doo. You know, when is it not hot?
So the newest forecast is in line with the prediction released last month by the Farmer's Almanac, which warned Garden State residents to accept sweltering and soggy conditions this summer. Wow. Sweltering and soggy. Two great words.
La Nina. It's going to rain and it's going to be hot.
Do people actually read the Farmer's Almanac?
No. It's just, no. The Farmer's Almanac is kind of all over the place.
Who even writes the Farmer's Almanac?
The farmers. Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Wait. Hold on. Hold on. Pause. Who are these farmers?
They're all around the country.
Yeah, they kind of get together. It's like a clinic.
The Almanac Publishing Company, guys. I don't believe farmers write this.
Because I don't even believe it because it's never right.
I hear all the time, oh, yeah, you know, the farmers.
New Jersey's going to get the worst winter in years, and we get 5 inches of snow.
You can't trust it.
You could buy like a hard copy every single year if you want.
Yeah, I might start picking one up.
It's a good idea.
Some light bathroom reading.
Yeah, I was about to say you can leave it in your bathroom for your guests to come over.
That's funny. People just will know what's going on year round.
But yeah, dude, like what's so shocking about this story? Okay, maybe it's gonna be up like a 0.2 degrees above average.
Yeah.
The climate activists are going to come at us in the comments being like, you guys have no idea. Global warming.
Well, so this article is pointing to a La Nina event, though. It's not pointing to the climate change.
Well, nonetheless, like the average temperature has been going up every single year or so.
Gotcha. So it's going to be a hot summer. But what are our summer plans going to be in with the knowledge that it's going to be hot? I hope you have a pool. Jimmy, you have access to a pool?
My neighbors actually just built a beautiful in-ground pool. So yeah.
Are you friends with your neighbors?
If I'm not, I'm going to be.
But you're not yet.
No, we're friendly.
Well, you guys, like, you're friendly, but you're not friends.
Yeah. I mean, they just moved in not that long ago.
But like, how do you get to the point where you get the pool invite?
I'm just going to show
up. You know
what
you got to do? You got to start dropping off gifts for them.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, my mom baked you guys a pie.
Yeah, it's like the cookies or a cake is some, that's a huge push.
And they built this like huge outdoor kitchen too. So like, you know, you smell something on the grill, like, hey, what's going on over there? What are you cooking?
Yeah.
Pop your head over the fence.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
Yeah, like Wilson.
Wilson, that's right. From Home Improvement.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite shows of all time.
It's a great show. I think it's good to have a friend with a pool. I got in-laws with a pool, so I'll be there most of the summer.
Is it, and it's not heated, right?
No.
That's perfect then for a hot summer. Nice, like chill pool. When you have a heated pool, it's great. But sometimes the heated pool gets too heated. You know what I mean?
Heated pools are great for the early months, like Memorial Day weekend through 4th of July. You need to be heated
because the water's cold.
And then you can cut it off in July, August.
That's true. So when do you guys usually start swimming there? Like in MDW?
They open a Memorial Day weekend. I'm literally the only person that'll jump in from Memorial Day to 4th of July because it's so cold.
Okay. So you have to wait till that thing heats up.
They had a heater, but it broke and heaters are very expensive. So I'll jump in. It's kind of like the family joke. I'm the one that'll go swimming. Nobody else wants to go in though.
Even on like a 100 degree day. Like I feel like that's so
beautiful. No, they will. But like, it's not as, even if it's 90 degrees out, if a pool is freezing cold, you go in and you're like, all right, get me out. And you kind of lay out.
But it's not usually, it's same with the beach though. The beach is pretty cold.
That's true.
All throughout the year, so.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. So, just expect warm weather this summer, everybody. Prep accordingly.
Wear a lot of sunscreen, even though it doesn't have anything to do with heat.
Somewhat.
Protect your skin.
All right. Let's move on to our next story. This is a sign of hope in days where things have grown dim.
It's dark, dark days.
This might be my favorite story this week, honestly.
A teenager from North Hunterdon, New Jersey, won an award this week after inventing a super-sized spotted lanternfly zapper.
These kids are incredible, man.
The kids...
This girl is a genius.
Modern problems call for modern solutions.
Dude, she needs to duplicate this or like start selling it. I think this is going to save the world.
How many lanternflies could it zap at once? That's my question.
Well, we're going to get into all those sorts of details in this article, Jimmy. So with an umbrella she borrowed from her family's patio, the solar-powered electric net, and some artificial intelligence, a North Hunterdon High School student created a solution to help fight off the pesky spotted lanternfly. The state's Department of Agriculture has urged citizens to crush lanternflies or spray them with insecticides and to treat affected trees before the invasive insects can cause damage to plants and crops. But Selena Zhang, 18, took the fight a step further and created an award-winning spotted lanternfly trap for less than $200. Many traditional approaches to this are labor-intensive or may have environmental aftermath. So I wanted to take a targeted and environmentally friendly approach, Zhang said. She calls the device the Artificial. It's a supersized eco-friendly mouse trap for invasive spotted lanternfly, she said. The trap currently stationed in her backyard in Annandale in Hunterdon County may seem like a solar panel adorned umbrella at first glance, but it is so much more intricate. At the top of the umbrella are lines of solar panels that energize the device's electric mesh, which zaps insects to lure the spotted lantern fly to the trap. She uses artificial intelligence and machine learning to attract the target. Only the spotted lantern fly, preventing harm to other insects. I want to know how she does that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's the part where I'm like, how good is that?
Science.
My guess is you still don't want to be sitting under this umbrella, though.
No, no, you don't want to
have lantern flies just raining on you.
I think it's cool how it's like they're going to be attracted to it based off the smell of like that tree.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Tree of heaven.
That's smart. Tree of heaven.
Where did I didn't? Oh yeah. So she uses the tree of heaven to lure them in, and then they get zapped.
Yeah.
It's pretty clever, man. This next generation, Gen Z's figuring out the way.
I mean, my mom would probably be upset that I took the family umbrella, you know, just to create a zapper out of it. But
yeah, but then when you win the award like this girl did, she's gonna be so proud of
you.
What
are the next steps, though? Like, how does she make a killing off this?
Oh, it has to go into production. This is just like the beta.
I think she should trademark it and then license it to a manufacturer that already makes this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I like how it's kind
of
themed.
I've watched
like
a lot of Shark Tank, by the way.
Hers kind of looks like a tree, which is cool.
Yeah, it does look like, it looks like a tiny version of a fake, you know, like how they have the fake trees on the side of the highway.
Yeah.
Kind of has that vibe to it.
But like, for only being 18, very, very cool.
What I think is
very clever
is if they just plop these up, you know, every couple hundred feet in major wooded areas,
we could solve all the problems.
That's the issue. It's a really cute science experiment. It's a really cute story, but honestly, like, there's no way you could stop spotted lantern flies if we're being real here. Really, just really heartwarming story, but there's no stopping them.
I think the way to end spotted lantern flies, this would be my approach. Mm. We need to inject them with a disease that they spread them when they reproduce.
What could go wrong?
And as we inject them, they kill each other naturally. And, you know, maybe it leads to a zombie apocalypse, but most likely we just kill the population.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be kind of tricky, though, to get them to turn on themselves like that.
No. I'm saying, like, maybe we give them an illness and they just spread it.
What kind of illness are we talking?
Like anything. A really bad head cold. The kind that makes you not want to get out of bed.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Or like the stomach bug.
Where do you start, though? Just with a singular lantern fly?
Yeah, it's viral. Have you ever heard of a virus?
Yeah.
All you need is one.
Yeah, and then it goes and it hangs out with all its friends.
You guys are
animal abuse. Unless it flies into this artificial tree.
You know that animal has a life, a family that you're trying to kill right now? Just saying.
True. I think this is really cool, though, that this girl's thinking this way. And I mean, I don't know what the solution to lantern flies is. I think this is better than anything I've done.
Oh, 100% for me as well.
All I've done is stomp on them. They told us to.
I did use a Louisville Slugger on a bunch.
I think how many did you hit? Like less than one? With
probably,
that bat?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I don't think you hit one. Hmm. But you were going for the nests.
I think the cool thing with the story is that, like, if she's 18 and this is like her first like real invention, she's gonna have so many more like throughout her lifetime, right? So what else is she gonna create? So
like very cool, very, very impressive. Cool.
Why do inventors not exist anymore?
I think they do.
They're just low key.
Well, like, sometimes I forget there was this show that was on in like the early 2000s that I watched with my mom about, like, I think it was like called The Next Great American Inventor or something stupid like that. And like one of the judges on that, it's like, this person has 42 products in like the average American home. And it's like, what?
I think the thing about inventors back in the day, though, that's different than today. I mean, I guess what you're saying is truthful, but like inventors used to be people that would make all different types of things. Now they're typically people that they make one type of thing. I feel like,
I don't know,
like Thomas Edison, light bulbs, phonograph, movie camera. Like he's doing all these different things that are unrelated.
Yeah.
Which is almost more maniacal that they're just like, yeah, I'm just going to invent like 20 different things that have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
Bunch of ideas. And nowadays, I feel like if you hear of an inventor, they invented one thing. It's like, I don't know. Who's an inventor? A famous inventor.
I couldn't tell you a famous inventor today.
Oh, dude. I saw a kid on TikTok the other day that I don't know if this is real. Okay. Just disclaimer. He's like this kid in a backyard.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I found a way to convert plastic and carbon into oil. And all the comments, he shows this big machine he has, and he's like doing it all, and it's like spitting out this like oil looking, and he's lighting on a fire to show it burns clean. He's like, if it was fake, he did a really good job, but he had like 150 videos.
Check in on him in a few months.
But everybody, all the comments were like, rest in peace, my boy.
Yeah, better watch out before the government gets to
him. You're done.
If he actually figured it out.
Yeah, like everybody, it was amazing how everybody knows that joke. Everyone's like, good luck.
Yeah, but it's a reality because people do get killed for doing that kind of stuff.
The water engine.
The water engine story is crazy.
So maybe we could invent something to stop the lantern flies. Maybe we should host a competition. I was actually thinking, this is kind of funny. What if we
teamed up with the Department of Agriculture?
That'd be cool. But what if we did like a New Jersey Shark Tank?
Oh.
Where instead of, because we're not obviously billionaires.
Yeah.
But instead of investing money, we invest our platform.
Huh.
So we have like 20 different business owners.
Yeah, we like kind of showcase it and spread it to the world.
And then we say, hey, we want to partner with you. We will be the marketing wing of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And we'll tell the whole world about it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and sometimes that's all people need. They have this great invention, but they have no way to spread it. And we could be the super spreaders.
Whoa.
Of their project. Viral.
We hosted a few super spreaders back in the day.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next story here. A New Jersey couple has been charged after leaving toddlers in a car while going to a wine tasting.
What? This is so messed up.
You know, they had to taste their wine. You know, they didn't want to bring the kids in, so. Left them in the car.
Yeah, a man and woman have been charged after leaving two toddlers in a car while they went to a Warren County winery, officials said. The Warren County Prosecutor's Office said that the staff at Four Sisters Winery called the state police to report that the duo came in for a tasting session on February 25th and left a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old in the parking lot. The children were unattended for about 20 minutes, staff at Four Sisters told officials. High temperatures that day were about 40 degrees Fahrenheit, according to weather reports. The duo left before troopers arrived, but officials were able to track the vehicle to Harmony Township and make sure the children were unharmed, said the Warren County's prosecutor's office. So,
my question is, wait, why are you doing a wine tasting for 20 minutes? Like, do they just want a quick little sip and then get out? They were there for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if...
That's
kind of
weird.
I don't know if they left after 20 minutes because they were done or if they left because someone, one of the employees, because the employees called the police.
Yeah.
Maybe the employees were like, you got to get your kids. If they were stopping by for just 20 minutes to pick something up, I mean, I'll be honest.
Quick little taste test.
Me and my siblings would hang in the car while my mom went to ShopRite.
Yeah.
And it was like, it felt like days.
Yeah.
Like when your mom goes into a supermarket and you're like, I'll wait in the car.
Yeah.
But this is a 2 and 3 year old. I was probably like 9 with my brothers.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference. So you can't really leave them alone. You can't leave like a 2 and a 3 year old. Especially if you're going to go sip some wine.
Yeah. This is just drama, it feels like. This is like these people will get their slap on their wrist.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, why are you going to a wine tasting when you're leaving your kid in the car, though?
Well, it's like, just.
Get a babysitter, enjoy the day, not just go for like 20 minutes. Like, it's kind of weird.
It shows a lack of accountability.
Yep.
Parents, I don't know. I don't think this is a common issue with parents leaving their kids in the car like
No.
I'm sure these people will be mortified and they'll make an example of them.
What were they charged with?
Oh, here we go. I got it. With 2 counts of 4th-degree cruelty and neglect of children. The offense carries a maximum sentence of 18 months in state prison. So I don't think they're going to go to prison. I think they're probably going to get fined and it'll be very embarrassing for them.
Yeah.
Let's look these people up.
Yeah, it's just irresponsible.
You know what's so funny is you can look people up and their LinkedIns come up.
Are you sure it's them though?
I think it has to be. New York metropolitan area? That's got to be. Nonetheless, not a good look, not a good thing to do.
You should have got a babysitter.
Just get a babysitter.
Didn't have to rush out of there. You could have enjoyed your time at the winery, but.
Didn't have to be like this.
Come on.
I think we're going to get 2 responses to the story.
What kind?
The first response is going to be from parents that are angry. That's me.
They're like, yeah, how could they?
And then you're going to have the rosé all day moms who have pictures all around their house that say things about wine because they're secretly addicted to drinking wine every night. And they're going to be like, me, in the comments. Could you see that or not?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, me ditching my little gremlin babies so I can go drink wine. You're like, what is wrong with you? Our culture's collapsing.
My gremlin.
That's like a thing. My little gremlins. You're like, oh,
how
man.
How could you do that, man?
Your children? Yeah. So,
Josh, if you're going to the winery this weekend, just make sure you get a babysitter.
No,
right?
Brother. No, thank
just
you.
Just letting you know.
All right. Next story here. New Jersey Transit's been in hot water lately.
Oh, they're building
new building.
They're, so much.
They have a new building going up. They're raising tolls, or raising fares, I should say.
People are jumping off the trains.
People are jumping off trains. And this newest week of news has not been kind to NJ Transit.
One thing after another.
A New Jersey Transit bus flew off the road this week and ended up in a culvert.
It actually it flew, yes. Bro, not good. People are injured.
The pictures are pretty wild.
This is interesting because it happened at the same time this week. We had other New Jersey Transit news that 14 were injured when a New Jersey Transit bus collided with a Jeep in Jersey City. So there's...
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot going on with these
non-stop.
Buses.
Non-stop.
Yeah. So a New Jersey Transit bus went off the road into a culvert late Tuesday afternoon, injuring most of the passengers on board. The 48-line bus was heading from Perth Amboy to Elizabeth and rear-ended a stopped Acura sedan on Port Reading Avenue and East Tappan Street in the Port Reading section of Woodbridge around 4:40 p.m. According to the Woodbridge Police Sergeant Phil Augusta, the Acura rear-ended a Ford Transit van while the bus veered down an embankment and into a culvert. News 12 New Jersey, shot the News 12, shows a video of several broken windows on the bus. Seven of the 16 passengers, including two children, suffered minor injuries. They were taken to JFK University Medical in Edison and Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital in Rahway. The drivers of the other vehicles were not injured. The Middlesex County Hazardous Material Team also responded to the crash after the bus was pulled from the culvert and found nothing had leaked. Thank goodness nothing leaked from the bus.
I think the scariest part about like major transportation crashes like this is like probably most of the people on this bus were like looking at their phone. Like there was no warning, right? Like if you're just in a car with like three of your friends in a car crash, like someone's like, ah,
and you don't have a seatbelt on.
Yeah. Well, true. That's a good point. No seatbelts on these buses.
That's what makes it even scarier.
Yeah.
You guys ever see that video of the kid who's singing in his car and his car just starts to flip?
No.
No.
Oh.
He was just singing and somehow he flipped his
car. This is like one of my favorite internet videos. And if you guys want to see what I'm looking at, Google guy singing crashes car.
That's all you need?
Oh my god. Yeah, like this how did he awful. Flip though?
This is awful.
No, he's fine.
I know but like how did he flip? Does this say?
He probably hydroplaned. It sounds like it's pouring rain out
of
his blinker.
Oh my god.
Like if this ended differently, would it be funny? But he's like a theater kid just singing and he's filming himself. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine being on that bus. That's kind of scary. But thankfully, like the culvert wasn't too deep. Like this thing could have gone off a bridge or something crazy and killed everyone. So the fact that people just walked away with minor injuries is a blessing.
So let's define a culvert.
Just for the people.
For the people at home. Not for me, clearly, because I know what a culvert is. Yeah. A tunnel carrying a stream or open drain under the road or railway. Are they using the wrong word in the story?
Because it wasn't a tunnel. It was kind of, it's more of a basin.
Yeah, I would call it a drainage basin.
Yeah, it was a drainage ditch, basically.
So we're going to call out these journalists and say they're using the wrong word.
Unless there was a culvert like attached to that.
It's
like,
possible.
Well, we could see the photo. The bus is not in like a pipe. It's just off the road. Man, these New Jersey Transit bus drivers, man, they've been having it rough. I can only imagine.
1 week it's a train issue. Next week it's a bus issue. It's like back and forth, nonstop. It's kind of wild, man.
No, it is. It totally is.
And they want us to pay more this summer. So it's not fun. Not good for New Jersey Transit. But guess what? People are still going to pay because people still have to use it. So,
well, soon enough, all these buses will be electric and computer programmed to just drive us around. There won't be bus drivers anymore.
Yeah. When?
And okay. Next 10 years.
No shot.
Really?
No way. Next 10 years. You're crazy.
We're still got the NJ Transit trains from like 1923.
Yeah. We are not upgrading anytime soon, Josh.
Yeah, but what you guys are forgetting is if it's going to save them money.
Oh, yeah. The unions are going to freak out about it, though.
Yeah, save them money. Well, how much are they going to have to pay every time they have to replace an electric bus battery, dude? It's going to be ridiculous.
Well, it doesn't have to be electric. It could be gas-powered. But here's devil's advocate. We say, if you have your pension and you're in the union, you're going to stay. We're going to let you ride out your career. But from now on, we're only going to be hiring electric buses, no humans. So you're going to have a mix.
Electric self-driving buses.
Yeah.
Oh,
self-driving buses from here on out. But if you're working, we'll let you keep driving. We'll let you close out your career, but we're going to stop hiring drivers.
Absolutely never happening.
I think it's destined to happen.
Especially in Jersey, bro. The congestion, guys, self-driving, no shot.
I think we're going to live a future where people are going to go, can you believe there was a time when people drove the bus? It sounds like almost like a milkman. Like that's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, but now, dude, going from a milkman to a person who drives a van delivering milk is not much different.
What do you mean?
People still deliver milk.
Really?
What?
Like in a truck?
No, milkman used to drop milk fresh off at your house.
Yeah,
door to door.
I'm saying they bring it to like ShopRite and stuff.
My point in saying that was it's like another world when you think, oh, people used to get a glass bottle of milk dropped on their front steps.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there used to be a guy in a uniform driving the bus for you to get to work. Come on. Like that sounds just like something from like another. I could see. I'm not saying it's going to happen in 10 years. I know I said that, but
the minimum 35 years.
No, I think next 20 years, the whole world's going to change.
You guys really think so?
Well, yep. AI, I think, is going to increase. In the next 5 years, I think the world will look completely different because of AI. Because it's like the hockey stick effect.
Hmm.
Like the growth is going to be slow. And then I think it's just going to compound in like a year span and go so crazy that everything's going to change.
That's a scary life. I don't know if I want to live that life because AI is already scary as is. Like, I think it's just going to turn south on us because it's going to get too good.
Listen, I agree. And I think it is a scary future because I think the number one career for men in America is driving vehicles, being bus driver. I mean,
let's keep it that way. Why do we need self-driving vehicles?
Really?
Yeah, really. Okay. I love driving. I never want a car that could drive me, be honest.
I agree. I think we should just legislate against it and let these people finish their careers as 18-wheeler drivers.
I mean, I would love to hear from the viewers. Like, what do you guys think? Do you guys think we'll see a time in our lifetime that there will be self-driving like buses and delivery trucks all over the roads in Jersey?
I think it has to happen. Okay, so I see both sides of this. I don't want to see drivers lose their jobs. That actually freaks me out. I think it's going to be really bad for the economy and for the world. But at the same time, I feel like it's inevitable. And I think the economy will just have to change. But AI is different than like the printing press or the internet generally because it can literally do your job. Like, what job is safe? They say coding. I don't know. I feel like coding is going to be up for grabs in the next 5 years. Even accounting. Accounting is supposed to be like the safest, most secure job ever. But if you're an accountant, why could AI not learn your job in the next
decade? Oh, yeah. 100% AI will take over accounting.
I saw these things on TikTok this week of like AI, like music writing softwares. And like you type in like what you want the song to like be about.
Yeah,
and it just
make it
spits out a song. And it sounds like a real song. It's wild.
I think I heard somebody say something interesting about AI where they were making the point. We thought AI was going to come for all the, all the very technical sort of white collar jobs first.
Yeah.
And it's actually coming for all the creative jobs first.
Yeah.
It's a better graphic designer. Well, not yet, but it's going to be a better graphic designer, better musician, better everything than all of us in the next few years.
The thing is that, because obviously like I'm a video editor and you think like, oh, AI can totally take over video editing. No problem. But then it comes down to the argument, where is the creativity? Because AI could cut this podcast, no problem. It can cut clips, no problem. But the way we cut clips is like I'm picking and choosing my favorite parts and like different. If you say something funny, I'm going to grab that. AI doesn't know that.
Well, what? Well,
that, when you say what you said was funny.
When you say creativity, what are you describing?
When you make a video or you edit a video, you have to be creative in like the B-roll you use or the certain clips you use and stuff to really tell a story. And obviously, I think AI is going to get smart enough where it'll be able to tell a story, but will it be creative? It's just, it's tricky.
Well, what if tomorrow we uploaded all 1,000 videos on our Instagram to an AI platform?
Yeah.
And it learned our exact sense of humor. It just studied us.
That's the thing. It'll get that smart, will it?
And then you put your videos in and it edited based on one podcast. It spits out 100 different edits for you.
Wow.
Which is what it's going to get to. You're going to say, hey, give me 100 different clips from this. And it's going to give you every single moment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, maybe there's a 90% success rate. Maybe there's 10% where you're like, oh, there was one moment that was really funny.
You're right. It could do unlimited amounts.
I guarantee you, bro. Come on. That's like an easy task. The big argument I had with someone a year ago when GPT or a year and a half ago when it first came out and became popular, they were like, oh, people always want to read human stories. We want to read stories written by humans. And I'm like, yeah, but if you upload every human story, every book ever written, AI is going to be able to.
It's going to be 10 times, 100 times smarter than any author.
It's going to be able to understand human emotion better than we do.
It's so scary.
It's going to find the little data idiosyncrasies between what makes people laugh and cry better than you and I can. I mean, we feel it. You feel when something makes you feel emotion. You know in a movie when something makes you feel like you want to cry or you want to laugh. But it's going to have the data on why. It's going to know. It's going to figure us out. We are complicated, but not that complicated.
It's going to doom society, bro. Like everyone's going to lose jobs. Like they got to regulate AI somehow. Like it's going to be very interesting the next 5 years to see where it goes and what they actually do with it, because it's going to get too powerful. And that's where it comes down to, like, oh, AI is going to destroy everything.
It's going to get too powerful.
It really is. It's scary.
Yeah. Well, let's leave things off on a high note here in North Wildwood, New Jersey, Josh.
A high note? Okay.
Yeah. In North Wildwood, New Jersey, a curfew has been set for teenagers that could hold parents responsible.
So we knew about this a little bit, right? We knew about the curfew that was going into place, but the new part of this story is now they're saying we're gonna fine the parents.
Yeah,
because the curfews aren't working, the kids aren't following it. So they're like, all right, let's come for the parents.
You know what? I love it.
I think it's good.
I like the idea of if you have a minor, if we can't charge minors, someone has to be held accountable for
that. And that's the parents.
I think, again, to the point we talked about in the past, parents don't want to parent anymore.
Yep.
They've left their kids to the public schools to be, to learn virtue and morality and all this stuff that has to come from family. And as a result, our kids are running ruthless.
Oh, yeah.
Schools are falling apart and people don't want to teach anymore. And then in the public setting, we have kids throw massive beach parties where they go wild. And parents don't want to sit with their 15-year-old. And be like, hey, you're not going out till 3 a.m. tonight to drink and go crazy with your friends. You got to stay home.
Yeah.
You have a 10 o'clock curfew. You get in by 10. I want to know you're home by 10 so I can sleep and know my kids are home.
Yep.
Like parents used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays these kids are running crazy and there's just no consequences. So parents are going to be held. Do you like the idea of parents being held accountable?
Yeah. It's the only way it's going to work because kids are not going to listen otherwise.
Yeah, it's kind of getting to the source.
Kids know how powerful they are and what they could do and get away with. So,
yeah. So it says North Wildwood in New Jersey is preparing to head off unruly teen gatherings during the summer season at the shore. City leaders passed an ordinance that created a new curfew. In the new ordinance, anyone under the age of 18 years old cannot be out after 10 p.m. without a guardian. That includes being in a car. This rule will begin in May and last through August. The curfews will then be pushed back until 11 p.m. in September. Parents who knowingly allow a minor to break the curfew could be punished. Wildwood, Ocean City, and Sea Isle already have similar curfews in place. Yeah, I mean...
I want more details on this. They really haven't released much.
If my parents got a ticket for me breaking the law...
I'd be done.
I'd be over.
Be terrifying.
That'd be the
and
last
it would work.
Time.
It would work. I wouldn't go back out again. I'd actually follow their rules.
And I think if we're gonna, as a culture, accept that anyone under 18 is considered a minor cannot be held. You can't go to prison if you're a minor.
Yeah.
We're not going to hold you responsible for your actions because as a culture, we've decided you're not of age. You're not an adult. You're not the age of decision-making,
yeah.
Right? Like we collectively agree that philosophically that if you're 16, you know, you're a kid.
Yeah.
So then does that mean you can just go murder people? You know, I mean, we do have juvenile detention halls and you can go to prison.
Bring
and stuff,
back but the fear of juvie.
Juvie.
Like I was always scared. I didn't want to go to juvie as a kid. So I always knew there's consequences for my actions. That's why I never did anything bad. Cause I knew I'd still get, you know, jail time if I killed
such
someone.
An angel.
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about, Angel?
You just went like from one extreme to another.
No,
like,
I knew there was consequences for my actions. I never do anything bad.
And then you're like, yeah, but then you're talking about killing someone.
No, I said when I was young, if I ever like committed a murder or something, I knew I'd go to juvie.
That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, but guys, it's called an example, Jim.
What was it about growing up in like the 90s that made all of us terrified of juvie?
TV shows talked about it. And I think that's, juvie. Yeah, people were like, I think they brought up juvie and stuff. So like, I was like, oh, juvies. Wasn't there like a Full House thing about someone going to juvenile court?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure like one of their friends went to juvie or something. I forgot what TV show is, but those early 90s, like those 90s TV shows, they always like, there was always a scene about that.
Yeah, you don't want to go to juvie. You just feel like you're going to make a mistake and go to juvie.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't think I ever knew anybody that went to juvie.
Me neither.
Maybe like someone in my school went to juvie, yeah. But you know. The fear of juvie was for real though, man. It was like we all had this deep fear of ending up there. And I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dude, there was like some 90s show that like someone went to juvie. But I don't know. I can't find anything from Full House.
That'd be a funny clip talking about juvie on like an Instagram video.
Or like do you remember Seventh Heaven, bro?
Yeah.
I feel like they talked about it or something.
I never watched Seventh Heaven. I always would, it would come on after or before when my show, a show I would watch, but I did see the one clip where they find the weed in the kid's dresser.
Yeah.
You seen that episode?
Yeah, oh, I watched the whole show with my family. Yeah. That was like a dark episode. It was like, oh my gosh, he's doing drugs. It scared you straight as a kid. It's like, I don't want to fall into that.
Seventh Heaven. Oh man, TV used to be so good. I miss like 2004 TV.
It was the best.
It was so pure.
From cartoons to like shows like Seventh Heaven and Full House, like good times, bro.
The 90s figured out the family sitcom, Family Matters, Full House.
You'll never see that again.
What else was on? What other 90s sitcoms? I mean, the Tim Allen Show. What was that, Jimmy?
Home Improvement.
Everybody Loves Raymond, King of Queens. I just think that they kind of like cracked the code on, Boy Meets World. So good.
Fresh Prince.
Good era. They don't have as many good ones nowadays, I feel like. All right. Well, that's our last story of the night, Josh. These kids are going to be sending their parents to jail if they go out too late.
Yeah. You, as a parent, you want to really get a hold of your kid.
Yeah. And they will.
Honestly, put a leash on him. I don't know.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts or comments?
As a parent, would you ever put a leash on your kid? backpacks?
Yeah, when I see those people walk around the airport, I'm like, what is wrong with you? But then I'm like thinking about my child in the airport. And it does scare me.
I saw the cutest thing. You ever see like the... there's like all these schools near where I live. And you ever see like the little like 3 or 4 year old preschool kids when they go on their walks in the street with the teachers? There's a teacher on one side, teacher on the other side, and there's a rope. Everyone's onto the rope.
Yeah. I think
it's
a good
idea. Cutest thing ever.
It is very cute. I think that's a good plan to keep the kids together.
Wasn't there like a scene like that in Finding Nemo? Or like some cartoon? Yeah,
they go on the shark.
Yeah.
Or on the back of the whale. The whale.
Yeah.
Or something with the baby turtles or something.
Oh, the turtles. Yeah, the turtles. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I don't think I'd ever put the leash on, but I at the airport, maybe I'd consider it just because the airport's kind of freaky.
The airports are like so fun, though. I never was at an airport as a kid, so I didn't get to experience it.
I will also say you don't realize until you have a kid that toddlers just want to like die. Like their whole goal is to do anything that's super dangerous for them.
Because they have no fear. They don't know what death is.
My daughter consistently wants to sprint off our front porch. Like down the steps. She wants to sprint. Like she runs towards the steps.
No, she has no idea what the consequences of falling down a staircase is.
Yeah, we grab her and I'm like, she doesn't know she's going to dive 6 feet off. Yeah. And so that's just what kids do. They want to do the most dangerous thing. They have no concept of this is probably not good for me to do. And
but even like when you're like 9, 10, like, bro, I had bruises all over my body when I was that age because I was just like jumping off things. I was like doing crazy tricks because like you didn't care. Like, obviously you have a concept of death at that point, but like you also don't care to be reckless, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
Fun times. Hey, I love New Jersey.
Oh, I thought
you're, me too.
You looked at me. You're gonna say, "I love you."
Nah, that'd be
have a go.
That'd be a little bit.
Listen, I love New Jersey too, brother. I love you guys. I love the viewers. I love the listeners. I love the pod. I love life. Life is good.
Yeah, and here's the deal. We got to start thinking through season 3 of the Garden State, because season 1 was our apartment. Season 2 was coming here to Vintage City.
Yeah,
and I think while it might not be a location switch. I think the evolution of the podcast, we need to figure out where we're going.
100%. Because
I think there's bigger and better. We could always be going bigger and better.
Are you guys going to fire me?
I was thinking about replacing you.
Honestly, do it. You won't.
I have someone in mind.
You cannot. Good luck.
Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier is going to replace you.
I mean, yeah, I want him on the pod. That'd be really cool.
He did follow us this week.
I know. We need to actually hit him up for an interview.
So that would be pretty cool. Considering I used to watch him play.
You guys are going to replace me with Jordan. That's what you guys are going to do. You're sick puppies.
You figured it out.
All right. Well, with that, that's the end of this week's episode. Hey, if you want to support the podcast, there was no ads on this episode. So go to thegardenstate.com, buy a piece of merch, free shipping on every order. Yes. We appreciate all the support. Get a hat, a t-shirt, a hoodie, stickers, whatever. And with that, that's the end of the episode. Have a great week.
I hope you guys have an awesome week. See you guys. We'll see you guys next time.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Garden State. The Dirty Jurors.